when I say fundamentally people, I mean extremely, maybe the only thing that is of importance. The only thing that matters is faith expressing itself in love, Paul says in Galatians 5. And we're looking at that love that comes from God the Holy Spirit. And there was another thing in the conference last night, in all of the discussion about repentance and the whole deal about it. David went with me, and first thing David said, without having that pastoral education that these men have, most of them I know had, they were Dallas grads, never mentioned the Holy Spirit's part in the repentance, never mentioned what motivated repentance and then what happens afterward. It was like taking it as an isolated act that something comes from man in it. And here again is the idea that what we're looking at here is that even in the understanding and the seeing of Scripture, that the Holy Spirit has to open our eyes so we can see really what's going on. And to understand what is it all about? What's it all about, Alfred? Something like that. But what's it about? It's about His love. I'm more convinced of that than anything. Faith is life. Nothing else matters but faith expressing itself in love. Confirm that. Paul also says the goal is love. That's Christ's love. Spirit's love. God is love. Two things God is in Scripture. God is love. God is spirit. The other things we put together that He is. But those two things are plainly declared. God is this. And it is in that realm that we get to relate with Him. So let's prepare ourselves that we can open our eyes to what we're looking at, and building up from the study of spiritual love. I do want to move to verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 3 and then really up to verse 5 and 6 where we left off, but we're rebuilding our whole type of tape library on this and also updating. We've taken out a lot of things that we did back in the late 80s, early 90s when we went this journey. But let's prepare ourselves by prayer, trusting the Spirit to open our eyes that we might see. Let's pray. All right, Father, we move into the most intense point of the crisis of the battle. And that's opening up the mystery of Scripture. And without the code, Heavenly Father, there's no way that we're going to be able to decipher the message. There's no way we're going to be able to understand it. We can understand words and sentences, but not the spiritual part. Pray that You will open our eyes now through Your Spirit, that we might understand some of these things that are being said, some of them a little startling. But Your Spirit will cause us to see what's happening in the Scriptures, that these things might become a reality in our life. Father, we do not seek knowledge for the sake of knowledge. We do not seek knowledge to boast ourselves and our list, but as a guiding of the Holy Spirit in our life, do we seek to understand these things. Your Spirit has given us a love of Scripture, and now, Father, we pray that Your Spirit will open our eyes to it. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 8. Take up right where we left off last Tuesday night without any review. And we are in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 8. So let's just move straight to that point. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, introducing the concept now concerning these things sacrificed to idols. We know that we all have knowledge. So everybody has their knowledge. Everybody has their position on various things, but knowledge makes arrogant. Now, what did that mean? That meant, I have my knowledge and I know that you can't eat this or you can't do this. I have my knowledge and I know that you can. So, we all have knowledge and knowledge makes us arrogant. In other words, what knowledge does, it makes us take our position. Like, we're the only ones that are right here and we've got it all figured out. But, strong conjunctive contrast, love edifies. The knowledge caused us to separate and to judge one another. One believer eats, one believer doesn't, so now we're having a problem. That destroys, that separates the believers. What love seeks to do, love seeks to edify. Verse 2, If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. We dealt with that last week. Tonight we begin with verse 3. And you remember that these are just aphorisms that are used by Paul in concerning spiritual love. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him, period. But if anyone loves God, he's known by him. Now, what in the world does this mean? Anyone, just think about the words. But if anyone loves God, he is known, he the believer, is known by him, that is, by God. All right, the issue is not knowledge. Now, what happens with critics, what happens with people looking for a fight, oh, this says something about knowledge, this says something about doctrine. Now, Paul, believe me, it is not in any way de-emphasizing the truth. What he's talking about is what man does with it. So he hasn't done that, but he says that's not the issue. That's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is not to learn doctrine. The ultimate goal is that spiritual love. The issue is love. Paul does not say, but if anyone knows, or even if anyone knows God, he says, but if anyone loves God. Note that in verse 3. He doesn't say, coming off all this knowledge, we might expect the word know in verse 3, 1 Corinthians 8:3. But if anyone knows God, he is known by him. It's not what it says. It's a powerful distinction. If anyone loves God, this one is known by God. Now, we'll first of all get rid of the critics that the sovereign, omnipotent God knows everybody. So let's solve that. Now what we're dealing with is, what does this mean in the technical relationship, the spiritual relationship between the sovereign, omnipotent God and you and me? Okay, let's first of all refresh our thoughts, go back to Galatians 4:9, where we saw almost the same thing being stated. I just love what we've done in Galatians. It just is the primer for all of the writings of Paul. I am so convinced of that now. All right, Galatians chapter 4, and we looked at verse 9. Chapter 4, verse 9. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary things? What is that? That's the law. To which you desire to be enslaved all over again. So here he's talking about this understanding and this relationship with God. So it's the knowing of God. I want to show you how important this whole thing of knowing God and being known of God and loving God is. Look where we're headed in John 14. Look at John 14. Say what's coming up here in our study. John 14. All right, let's pick it up. Oh, let's pick it up at verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me because I live. Because I live, you shall live also. In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. There's our model union that we've been talking about, and we'll come back to. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. Okay. Knowing God, be known of God, loving God, and I will love him, and will disclose myself to him. And look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. All of these verses are tying together for what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him. And understanding what it means to be known by him. Now, look at 1 John. It just keeps rolling. 1 John chapter 2. Now go over 1 John chapter 2, and let's look at verse 3. Just want to show you over and over how all of these things go. And this is one of those things. Let me stop my. When Paul said that in Galatians, the known of God, and then he says it in Corinthians, and then John talks about, Christ talks about it, knowing him and loving him, and John's talking about it. This is one of those things I was just trying to say a few moments ago. Whatever you communicate to another person that they do or not do or whatever it is, this is your view ultimately of God. Not of them, not of sin, not of you. This is what your view is of God. And this is why it's so important, people, that we both love him and know him and are known of by him. Okay, look at 1 John now, chapter 2, verse 3. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Now, which commandments are those? Well, they're given to us in chapter 3 here that we believe and love. Those are the commandments given. The one who says, I have come to know him, that's what we're talking about, bragging, claiming to know God, and does not keep his commandments, that one is a liar. In what respect? Not knowing God. And the truth is not in him. Now, what did I say that the commandments that are being talked about are? Faith and love. Look at verse 5, and we'll see this inferred. But whoever keeps his word, we've gone from commandment to word. They're parallel. And we know what his word is. Whoever keeps his word in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. How did he walk? He walked by faith with the manifestation of love. Look at chapter 3 of 1 John. Chapter 3 of 1 John, and we'll look at two verses, 23 and 24. What are the commandments talked about? Let's stay in context. Stay with the writer. And this is his commandment. Okay, now we know what he's talking about. Here they are. We believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Boom, you're saved. That's it. Believe in his name. And love one another, just as he commanded us. Pow! There it is. Okay, now let's go back to our study. So, whether you eat or not, is not the issue. What does Paul say in Galatians twice, chapter 5 and chapter 6? It's not whether you're circumcised or not circumcised. Remember that? Twice, and once in chapter 5 and once in chapter 6. We get so hung up on the things related to this earth that we lose the perspective of our relationship with God. So what we're looking at here in our study, whether you eat or not eat, is not the issue. God doesn't care whether you eat or don't eat this food offered to idols. It just doesn't matter to him. Matters to him is your love for one another. That's what matters to him. You do not have a relationship with God because you live by law or are legalistic. You do not have a relationship with God because you do whatever you want to do, or because you know doctrine and can do whatever you want to do. See, that's not how we're going to do it. You're not going to be known of God, have a relationship with God, by these earthly things, people. And that's what most people say. Most people say those who live the straight and narrow, boy, they're really close to God. Some of those people are so far away from God, it isn't even funny how far away they are from God. They don't even know God. Is your view of God, think about it, is your view of God that, boy, he's really going to get upset if I eat this meat? You think that's God? He's really going to get upset if I go out there and eat this meat that's going to pass through my body, be all over in 3 days, and boom. But, boy, don't make this big deal with God. That's his view of God. People, whether we eat or don't eat, we've got to realize the realm in which we live in our relationship with God. God, if this is the way you look at God, God does not know you personally because of what you do. That isn't how God knows you. Oh, my view of God is God knows everybody who lives a certain way. And that's how God knows you. People, God does not know you because you live a certain way or you don't do certain things. Just clear that off the board. That is not going to determine whether God knows you personally. God does not know you personally because of what you don't do. And this is where a lot of people live. Boy, they live very legalistic. God knows me because I don't do this and I don't do this and I don't do that. And I do all these things and I don't do those things, and therefore God knows me and loves me. You're wrong. That's not God. That's not the God of Scripture. That's not the true God. The truth of the matter is, God knows you if you love Him. Oh, well, I love Him. Oh, it's not so easy said. That's not so easy said. So don't think that that's so easy to say. Now, look with me at Matthew 7. Just to put some things for you. Matthew 7. Verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Think about that in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 13. Well, what? We know all prophecy. And in your name we cast out demons. And in your name performed many miracles. And those have and will be done again. And then I will declare to them, I never, ever knew you. Depart from me. Okay. But I did all these things. I did it right according to law, not according to love. And this is what he's looking for. This is why a lot of people have trouble with David, a man after God's own heart. There's no way he can be. So let's explain that by dispensations. People, God can change from the previous dispensation to the church. God didn't change. Oh, well, over here I could love you if, you know, you lived like that. But over here I can't. God didn't change. So what are we going to look for then, using David as our extreme example? What are we looking for? We're not looking for the things that man looks for. David loved God. And that's what we're looking for. And that's what God is looking for in these issues. So, 1 Corinthians 8, now let's go back to our passage. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3. But if anyone loves God, Paul uses what we know as a first-class condition again, for there were believers in Corinth who did indeed love God in the power of the Spirit. So this is a true statement. All right, if anyone, and they do. And anyone refers, let me tell you what anyone refers to. Anyone refers to you. Anyone refers to the opportunity that any and every believer has. If someone doesn't have love, if I do not have love, it profits me nothing. Why does a person not have love? Because you choose not to walk by faith in the Spirit. You choose to walk by your work, by law, by whatever. But you do not choose to live by walking in the Spirit, by faith, in the Spirit. So that he can pour this love inside of you. So the anyone, but if anyone, all through churches, if anyone, the opportunity that we all have, if any believer loves God, and this is in what we call a subjunctive mood, and it's in the subjunctive mood now, again, maybe you do, maybe you don't. It's going to be up to whether or not you're walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. Depends on walking in the Spirit. Now, what all this means is, your love toward God determines, now watch this, your love toward God determines your love toward man. But I'm going to show you some verses that I don't want you to get confused. Your love toward God, and remember where this love is coming from, faith directed toward the Holy Spirit. Your love directed toward God is going to determine your love directed toward other believers, directed toward others. But we're going to look at some passages that says, if you do not love others, you do not love God. What a lot of believers like to claim is this: I love God, but I really have to trouble with my husband, my wife, my friend, some other believer, and there's anger, if they were honest, hate, if they're honest, and if you listen for it, you'll hear it, no matter what the claim. They have anger and hate toward another person, but they want to protest, but I love God. People, know you don't. No, you don't, says John. The power of the Spirit. You do not love God if you carry anger and hate toward another believer. It's that simple. You lie. You're deceiving yourself. I can love God and hate those for whom Christ died. I can love God, be angry and hate those within whom the Spirit dwells. You're deceiving yourself. You don't love God. Period. You're lying. One thing that I did like in the movie The Apostle is that he drew it down to the bottom line. I am angry at you. It's a very powerful scene in honesty. I am not mad at my wife. I am not mad at her lover. I am not mad at people in the church. I am not mad at those who took my life, my home, my church, my everything. I am mad at you, God. I don't know, and it's a very beautiful line, I don't know if it's Satan feeling with me or you, but it's you that I am mad at, because I know ultimately you allow all things. So I am angry at you. This is profoundly honest, and this is where we all must be. And this is the relationship that David had with God and Abraham had with God. But this type of honesty with God, to recognize where my real problem lies. My real problem is always here. My real problem is never with people. Never. Be honest about it. Because ultimately God allowed them to do whatever it is you're angry about. God allowed it. So ultimately we're angry and we have to deal and straighten out things with God. Once we come to terms with God, once we're able to do what? I trust you. This is where David comes. And the greatest psalm when you're angry at God is to read through David from about Psalm 7 or 8 to about Psalm 30. And notice in almost every one of them, he's angry at God, he trusts God. Angry at God, trust God. He starts off generally in an anger at God, and ends up, but I trust you. Okay, so what we're looking at here in this ideal of loving God, knowing God, being loved of God, I want to know God, and I want God to know me. Okay, you can't say that you love others or hate, anger toward others, and that you love God, because you don't. You're lying and you're deceiving yourself in that issue. So your love for God determines your love toward others. Okay, let's look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. First John 4, 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Look at verse 20. If anyone says, I love God, and the word say there means to claim, anyone claims, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. It's that simple. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Look at chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. But this we know, that we love the children of God, other believers, for we're all children of God by faith in Christ, when we love God and observe his commandments. What are his commandments? Faith and love. So many believers claim they love God, but people, you cannot love God and carry anger or hate toward others. And we always have, remember this is very important, we always have very good reasons why we are angry and hate this other believer, don't we? And where does our very good reason for not loving them come from? It comes from the law, which makes us aware of sin. It does not come from love. It makes us aware of what God has already taken care of. So when you say, I've got very good reasons to be angry at this person, I've got very good reasons to hate this person, I've got very good reasons to do them harm, this is where you're dealing from. This is where you're coming from. This is your ground and basis of your anger and your hate. This is where you've come from. So we are wrong if we do not understand the truth of where the love is going to be and where the love is. So if you do not love God, or if you do not love people, you do not love God. And when you are walking by faith in the Spirit, you will love others as Christ has loved you. That's what you will do. Now, this is going to come as a surprise, maybe to some of you, maybe not. In through church history, just by looking at church history, both current and through history, few believers ever really developed a love for God. Few believers ever really developed a love for God, because most believers lived their life totally on the level that Adam and Eve lived on until they got it straightened out from the tree of life, and that is believer with believer. And if that's the way you're going to go at it, you're never truly going to develop a love of God. And church history flows with the separations, the divisions, the killings, the murders, the wars, all the things that have been done in the banner of the cross. The way Christians have treated Christians. Very few Christians have ever developed a love for God. Think of what you want to do in your life. And this whole thing that we're talking about is in the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to have a love toward God. It is not natural. It is not natural. It is supernatural. You do not naturally love God. Not with the love that He's looking for us. As we will see, hopefully, tonight, I doubt it. But, no, tomorrow night, yeah, tomorrow night we will. Okay. We're ultimately seeking this love toward God. What we're going to be looking at somewhere along the line, getting you into something you're already aware of, but the disciples and the Pharisees and the law people, what is the foremost command? Okay, we've got all the commands, but we want to categorize them. Okay, I'll follow you then. We'll categorize them. The foremost command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And second to it is to love, first to love God, and secondly, to love others. Now, people, that isn't my word. Those are His words, whichever dispensation you want to take it. This is what the whole purpose of the spirit-filled life and a relationship with God is known as. It's known in the realm of righteousness. People, let me assure you, if Christ wanted to say, the foremost command is that you be righteous, He would have said that. Let me assure you, our God knows the difference, our Savior knows the difference between the word righteousness or righteous and love. But as we're already beginning to see, they are almost synonymous terms, aren't they? Becoming very close to blending to be one. Because whoever does love fulfills all righteousness, Paul says. But what I want you to see is, this is the utmost command. This is where we're going. This is what we're headed in. And it's amazing how Satan, the flesh, and the world get believers fighting over here, fighting over here, fighting about this, arguing about that, on and on and on, with all these other issues, from prophecy to law and legalism to just theology and the ways we're going to see things, and the division of the church, the anger of the church, and the killing by the church of each other. It's not a picture of loving as Christ loved. It's not even near a picture. We're all so concerned, I want to be right. I want to be right. And you have to decide, what is your main goal? Is your main goal to be right? Or is your main goal, I want to love God and love others as Christ loved? You get to decide. What is going to drive, what's the Holy Spirit going to use in directing the pattern of your life, divine guidance, in your relationship with husband, wife, friends, church, work, anywhere, everywhere, to be right or to love? And don't say, well, they're the same. No, because I'm right, you don't eat meat. I'm right, you do eat meat. I'm just thinking something that's not even an issue today. We could go for the jugular here. I'm right when the rapture is going to occur. I'm right when this is going to occur. Is that the leading where the Spirit leads you? To be right. Or is the Spirit leading you to love? Coming home from this pastor thing last night, David and I were laughing in the car. It's going to be quite a day. The first Bible class, you want to call it that, in heaven and eternity, Christ is going to stand up and he's going to say, okay, first thing is, forget everything that you think you know. Just clear your board. We're going to start all over. Because we're all caught up in this. People, let me tell you something. I'm not mocking being right. I want to tell you something. If you love God and if you love others, you are right. And you will be doing right. You, in loving others, will not wrong them in a wrongful way, harmful way. You won't do it. So, if anyone loves God, he is known by him. That is, the believer who loves God is known. He is known intimately. He is known personally by God. Now, I want to just jump and tell you what God knows. We're going to take up some points here. We haven't done points in a while. But I just want to introduce the whole thing. What does God know? God knows himself. The Holy Spirit gives you this love. So what does God know about you? God knows the Spirit in you, walking, living and alive in you. Let's see if we can put some of these in some points. One. It's been a while since we've done points. One, spiritual love. Spiritual love. Love from the Holy Spirit. Love loving as Christ loved. Reveals a union. We've been talking about a union in John. Reveals a union between you and God. When you love others as Christ loved, it reveals, demonstrates, manifests a union between you and God. Love establishes a union, a unity, a partaker of each other. So, when you, here you are, put your own name there, when you have this spiritual love toward others, what you are in is you are in union with God who also loves them. So what spiritual love does, it puts you into a union. See, love puts you into this union with them, but first love puts you into this union with God. Two. When a believer loves God, spiritual love toward God, again by the power of the Spirit, he exhibits, manifests that love in loving others as Christ loved him. Now here you go. By this love, God recognizes, Bass knows, God recognizes, best knows, the love of his own Son. He knows or recognizes that love. This is why people, human love is no factor with God. No factor with God. Spiritual love is a factor with God. Human love is very important to us. Love that comes from the human flesh. But it's of no factor with God. Only love that is a factor with God is the love of His Son, Jesus Christ, which ultimately, as you know, is the love of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit poured that love into Jesus Christ. Point three, this is the principle of the new commandment. This is the principle of the new commandment. What did He say? By this, all will know your mind. By this. So what have I showed you? If you follow what we're doing, if you love, there's this union. There's this union that is established between you and God, and it's that others are going to know of that union. They're going to know you belong to God. They're going to know. Others will know you belong to God. Now, let's be careful. What about those living by law? They're not going to know it because what they want you to do is live by law. But remember, angels are also watching and learning. And there are members of the human race, both unbeliever and believers, who are watching and learning. But what we have with the new commandment, by this others will know that you belong to me. How will they know that? Because people, love demonstrates this union. It demonstrates this partaking, that you are in fellowship with Christ through the Spirit, with God the Father through the Spirit, and because that love flows from you, they're going to know. People, we're going to see Easter. That the same love that put Christ on the cross, that same love is potentially in every one of you. And I want that to sink in. And the same power that raised Him from the dead is in you. Now, what does that mean to you? That means in your very home. Let's just first of all talk about, and we give all the glowing sermons and talk and all of this, of the love that put Christ on the cross. Oh, what a powerful love, and we sing songs about it. We are amazed at that love. We're amazed at the love that the Father gave in giving His Son. The love of His Son to go on a cross. People, please understand that that exact same love is in your home, when you're there, the potential of it, in your workplace, in your church, in your social life, wherever you go. Whatever kind of environment you work in, warehouse, machine shop, office, wherever you may work, the same love that put Christ on the cross is right there in that room, if you will let it flow. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, let's give glowing sermons about it. Let's amen. Let's sing songs. He is risen today. Christ is alive today. He lives. All He says, talk about it, think about it, take notes, read Scripture. That same power is in you that raised Him from the dead. It's in you where you work, in your home, in your church, wherever you go. And just think about that. That's an awesome concept. Don't stand back and say, open my heart. Yes, be taken by that love and realize it can flow through you. And I couldn't even understand resurrection from the dead. I hope of that, but wow, what power for God to raise the dead. That same power is in you. That exact same power. So, got this union. When you're loving God, if you demonstrate that love to others, they're going to know you belong to God. Okay, point four. This knowledge, this knowing, refers to an intimate knowledge of a partaking, of a partnership, of a relationship. The Lord is intimate with the Father with the Lord. The Lord is intimate with those who love the Father and who love Him. That's what we read in John 14, the Gospel of John chapter 14. There's an intimacy that love establishes.
There's an intimacy that flows out of this relationship. See, what we have if we picked at these things, faith is a relationship word. Faith is a relationship word. This is why we're saved by it and restored by it and live by it. What you and I do is when we put faith, an act of faith in God, Jesus Christ, the one God sent, Jesus Christ, or in the one God sent, God the Holy Spirit, when we put our faith in Him, it's like our left hand is us, this is faith, this is God's hand, there's a relationship. And the river that flows out of that relationship, that flows out from this now, is life. That's what flows out of that relationship. So that when you and I are walking by faith, therefore, in an intimacy with Him, love will manifest itself and reveal our relationship with Him. 5, the Lord says that He is intimate with those who love as He loves. He is intimate with those who love as He loves. Okay, let's see what that means. That's a theological statement. What does that mean? Well, Revelation gives us a good picture of what that means. People, you're never going to lose your eternal relationship with God. You have that. Your eternal relationship with God. What we're talking about is an intimate relationship. Example being God standing outside of your soul. Jesus Christ standing out there knocking on the door. That's not a salvation passage. That is a believer's relationship with Him. It's a believer's relationship. And He wants to come inside and what? Eat with you. Sup with you. Supper again is a picture of what? We saw this a couple of weeks ago in our study of communion. That eating is always a picture, or often a picture, of that union and that fellowship that we have with God. He wants to come in and have this fellowship. He's standing outside of our heart. Standing outside. He's inside through the Holy Spirit, but you're not in union with Him. You're not in fellowship with Him. You're not in intimacy with Him. It's like a husband and wife. They're still married. They're still husband and wife. And they're going to be. It's not going to end anything. But right now, they're estranged from each other, and they're angry at each other. They can't even sit down and have supper together. This has got to get resolved. This has got to get taken care of. Whatever caused this estrangement between them, this hostility, this breaking of harmony has got to be taken care of. Why? So they can go back, boom, and have that intimacy together again. Be able to eat together and fellowship together. How do we do that with God? By faith. What flows from that faith, and how do we know when we're in a faith relationship? How do I know if I'm walking by faith in the Spirit? People, it doesn't take long to find out is what you hear coming out of your mouth, are those the words of love? The acts that you see, what you see yourself doing, are those the acts of spiritual love? Are those edifying? Are those glorifying to Jesus Christ and God the Father? All you have to do is to listen to yourself. All you have to do is watch. Take a look at yourself and what's coming out. And you'll know whether or not you are walking by faith in God the Holy Spirit because of this great manifestation that reveals what? You're in union. What manifests God's love? He laid down His life for us. Therefore, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. When instead is in your heart, anger, hate, all that stuff, you know you're not walking in the love. God doesn't know you. God doesn't know you. Now, He knows, again, in this parenthesis, yes, He's omniscient and knows us all in that sense, but He does not know you intimately because that's not His love. I don't recognize that love. That's a base way of putting it. I don't recognize that kind of love you're doing. That's not mine. I don't know that. That isn't my love. So, what do I know? I know that the old man is now living. I know that the flesh is now living. Because God doesn't know that love. He doesn't know. His love would not act that way. His love would not let me talk to my husband, my wife, my friend, this other believer, person at work or church that way. God said, I don't know them. That's not my love. It's not my love. It's not the way my love acts. So I don't know that. But what happens when he sees the love that comes from the Holy Spirit to you? Ah, that's where I want to be. I want to be right there, and I'll come in. Abide in you. Because where my love is flowing, that's where I want to be. Well, when you and I are not loving as He loves, He doesn't want to be there. That isn't me. That isn't the way I love Him. I won't be identified with that. You want to go rant and rage? You want to go treat your husband, your wife, another Christian that way? Have at it. But I'm not there. I'm not there intimately. You're on your own. I'm outside. So if you want to have, to be known of him, then you have to have the love that he knows. And he knows this love, and he says, that's my love. That's where I want to be, right there. That's my life. So I hope this is thinking of what it means to be known of God, and he knows, and how he knows it. So the Lord is intimate with those who love as he loved. And 6, spiritual love for the Father, spiritual love for the Son, guides in the manifestation of that love toward others. We talk about divine guidance a lot, we being Christians, books written on it, arguments about it. Want to know how to be guided? One of the primary things of divine guidance, we're guided by the Spirit. But one of the primary guidances of the Holy Spirit is spiritual love. I want to know what God wants me to do in this circumstance. Be guided by his love. Not by law. By law, I know what I ought to do. You can be guided by law, or you can be guided by love. And they're not the same. You get to pick. I am not here. I am here. This is where I am. I'm not here. Very important phrase in Elijah. We'll be studying Elijah in a little while. Get back to John 14. We're no sooner going to, I just warned you, we're no sooner going to get back to John 14 than we're going off on some other trips. But you'll enjoy them. Take my word for it. But one of the most wonderful things in the study of Elijah is to walk out and there's the whirlwind. I am not there. And then there is the trembling of the, I am not there. Thunder and lightning, I am not there. All those loud things, I'm not there. Then a breeze comes by, there I am. Now let's use that, where am I? I am not there. This came, you study when the night when he came down with the law, all the whirlwind, the lightning and the thunder and the miracles, all this stuff going on, I'm not there. This is where I am. I'm not there. It's going to look like it to a lot of people. This is where I am. This covers a great deal of the Old Testament, but I'm not there. Where am I? I'm in the gentle quietness of life that edifies, strengthens, encourages, all those things we study tomorrow night. That's where I am. So where is God? Where is your God? Your view of God. Your view of God, where is God? Where does God dwell? Where does God exist? And people, let me tell you something. Those who say he exists in the law and righteousness and all of that, boy, they've got their verses. And those who say, no, he is where love is, they've got their verses. It's all in how you see God. It's all in how you understand God and your relationship with God. It's going to answer how you see so many things that go on. So, yes, you can know all these things, have all this knowledge, all this understanding of people, that doesn't impress God. You can have a spiritual gift of speaking in the language of angels, that doesn't impress God. I hope you're getting to understand doing or not doing isn't the issue with God. Doing or not doing in his love is what he's looking for. That's the issue. What man looks for, what law looks for, are you doing or not doing? That's all I want to know. Are you doing or not doing? God doesn't even see that. Whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, doesn't matter. It's a lot. That's what I'm looking for. Let's make it practical. Whether you give money or don't give money, whether you give things to your husband, your wife, others, that's not the issue. Do you like? Whether you know doctrine or don't know doctrine. I suspect somebody's right on their view of when the rapture occurs, because there's every view that you can imagine on when the rapture is going to occur. Somebody's right on when it's going to occur. But even somebody who's wrong, but his position is in love,
there probably can be more right than those who are right on when it will occur, if their position is on doctrine and knowledge. I hope all of that gets, don't ask me to repeat that sentence, but the ideal is not those kinds of things of knowing and not knowing, it's the love. This is what's going to guide. This is what God is going to identify. Ah, there he is. That's my love. That's where I want to be. What do you want to be? You want to be somebody who loves you or somebody who doesn't? I think we all would agree, I want to be somebody who loves me. I mean, we've been talking day in and day out, even with our husband and wife. I don't be with them when they don't love me, when they're mad and angry. I want to be with somebody who loves you. God wants to be where there's that love. And where his love is, there he is. And where his love is not, he's not. And it's that kind of simple thing. It's not a matter of right and wrong. You can be very right and be so wrong, disgustingly wrong. He's going to be where his love is. That's where he's going to be. You can be so right and be so wrong. Let's end it tonight with this question. Can you be wrong and yet right? Well, David, it was a good study, took off and ran. He ran to the cave. And he hid in the cave. Well, he's wrong. He's right. His heart, his soul is right. He ran into a lot of renegades in the cave. All those men that were, he ran into that were hiding in those caves. They're wrong, but they're right. Because their soul is ready to listen. Where do you think all those people came from? Those are the people who ran when their parents wanted to use the law. If your children, you can't control your children, stone them. That's law. And these young men said, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I can see it's all over for me if I hang around here. I'm out of here. And they ran and they hid. They ran from the law. And they were hiding. And then truth came. David came there, truth came, and all these men said, yes, that's what I'm looking for. Now I know why I ran. Now I know why law didn't sound right. But I was told that it was of God, but it didn't sound right. And I ran from it. And David came in and said, what God is looking for is a broken heart. Repentant soul and one that will trust him. And that whole band said, yes, that's what we want. So, we've got to look at what God is looking for. This is what God is looking for. This is love. Because if you're doing the love, you will do no wrong to another person. That's what God is looking for, where that love abides. His love. Closing the word of prayer. Once again, Father, so blatantly this evening, the Spirit has taken us on a journey of understanding you, closer to seeing you, seeing what you desire, seeing what you look for, as it were. The Spirit has opened our eyes, Father, that you're looking for your own blood. You're looking for that love that puts your son on his knees to our feet, your love that puts your son on the cross, the Lord himself, to serve others. So, Father, what we really learned about tonight when we discussed love is we learned about you, what kind of a God you are. We're so grateful that your son and your spirit bring us to you, that we can know you, that we can pray with you, to you. The most humbling, awesome thought, that we can even please you, if we will just allow your spirit to pour in your life today. Father, how grateful we are for this evening, for this opportunity to open the scripture together and see these things and these truths of you. We praise you in your son's precious name. Amen.